Amen. We were having a blast here last night praying, and I just know that I know that the Lord's going to show up in a powerful way. Before I'm going to start the sermon, I want to ask you that every eye will be on Jesus this morning. This church is all about Jesus. It's nothing about man. It's nothing that I can do. I can't help any person. Christ Jesus is the healer. Amen. And I want you to, before we're going to start with this service, we're going to put our emphasis and our focus on Christ. Amen. It's all about Him. I want you to high five the person next to you and say, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Him. And this morning, I really do believe that the word is going to go out this morning is going to set people free. Because I believe that the word of God can never come back void. Who believes that? Now, you can never receive the word without being excited about the word of God. Come on, we're not at a funeral parlor this morning. We're in the house of the Lord. Amen? And He's alive. So I tell you this morning that the truth will set you free. Who's ready for truth in this place? And what I've learned is that the Lord spoke to me, and I say this prophetically. I was in my bed the other night, just getting into my bed, and God started speaking to me. And the Lord spoke to me about the watchman on the wall, and He said, where's the watchman on the wall? Where's my watchman on the wall that will start to prophesy without relenting? And He started speaking to me. He says, where's the men that will declare that say of the Lord? Where's the prophets that will declare a word that I will establish it for them? And God started speaking, and He said, my word will never come back void. And this is, you need to get this right through your skull this morning. His word will never come back void. It's one thing, I promise you, you can look at the whole world, you can go on the internet, you can look at people. There's only one constant, and His name is Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's constant. He's like this. And His word never fails. It never comes back void. It never comes back and return without bringing forth something. So when you apply the word and you speak the word works. Please shout this with me. The word works. Come on, you can do better than that. The word works. And that's all we need. We need the word of God. Even as the centurion man understood this, he said, Lord, just speak a word and my servant will be healed. You know, this is what we need again. We need the word of God. I spoke to people last night. I said, the power of the gospel lies in the simplicity thereof. Many people make it complicated. The power comes out of simplicity. Oh, come on, somebody. Out of the simplicity. When you believe the word only, the word shall come and create for you whatever you believe it to do. Amen. God created the heavens and the earth through what? By speaking a word. Let it be light. Come on, He divided the sea from the land by a word. It didn't take Him much, just speaking a word and something was created. This morning, the word of God has got the potential not just to shift you from your now to your next, but it's got the potential to change everything that you see. Come on, in the here and in the now. The word's got the potential to set you on high. While the world wants to bind you, the word sets you free. Amen. Come on. I'm talking to somebody that wants to receive this word this morning. You can sit here and say, oh, I heard this message before. Or you can say, I'm taking this word because this word will not come back void. It has been released. So what God has said, it's applied to me and my family. Hallelujah. Now, Paul comes and Paul speaks about carnal Christians. He says, you know what? You guys are still babes. He says, I was feeding you milk all the time. And it's time that we get to the meat. And there's a lot of good Christians, but a lot of fleshy Christians. I said last night for the Afrikaners, you'll understand this. Ons dink ons is vreeslike Christene. Ons is nie vreeslike Christene, ons is vleeslike Christene. We got fleshly Christians. And Paul comes and he says the next, he says, do you know what? When you live a life of the flesh, a carnal life, he says it's enmity with God. He says the flesh hates God. Come on, do you hear what I'm saying? The flesh hates God. Now, just free of charge, I want to throw this in. The Holy Spirit of God is a gentle spirit, but He's the greatest evangelist that has ever been on planet Earth as the precious Holy Spirit. Come on, if you believe it, give Him a shout. So the precious Holy Spirit works on lives and hearts every single day of our lives. People ask me the question, Vessel, does the Holy Spirit leave in the New Testament? Will He leave your life? Because Jesus has promised that He gives His Holy Spirit and He will abide with you forever. And I said, let me explain this to you. The Bible says, he who is led by the Spirit of God is called a son of God. If you are part of this world, you're not a son, you're a slave. You're a slave to sin. Come on, you're a slave to this world. It's only when you are led by the Spirit of God that you can truly be called a son of God. So when you're not led by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit can absolutely backtrack and say, all right, you're on your own. Because Paul says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, meaning do not cause injury. Oh, come on. The Afrikaners bless die Gees nie uit nie. All right, so carnal people don't understand this. Carnal Christians, what they see is that everything they evaluate out of the flesh. Everything is the flesh. It's me. There's no spiritual substance. And Paul says, because you were on your milk for so long, there's no substance. You're not growing like you're supposed to grow. Come on, I'm talking to somebody. We need some meat up in this place. Okay, it's time to take some meat and say, I'm about to grow. Come on, somebody. I want you to jump to your feet. Come on, right now. And say, I'm about to grow. I'm about to grow in leaps and in bounds. I want to ask, even if it's just a handful of people who says, Vessel, this morning I'm fed up of being a victim. I'm fed up of the enemy throwing me this way and that way. I'm about to take back my territory. Come on, who am I speaking to? I'm about to get out of the flesh, walking in the Spirit of God, being led by the Spirit of God. Amen. He says he was led by the Spirit of God. He's a son of God. A son of God. Now I'm getting to the exciting part. A son of God is a person that's got access to the Father 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without performing. Because he's my heavenly Father. And he loves me dearly. He loves me dearly. I can't even explain this to you in words. The love that Jesus has for us as his people. And I want to throw this in free of charge. Jesus hates sin. He hates sin. God, I'm going to try that again. He hates sin. You can never tell me that you're a soul winner until you come to the place where you hate sin with every ounce of your being. This is why you win souls, because you hate sin. Ooh, hallelujah. But the carnal Christians get offended. The carnal Christians, their minds are never renewed. And this morning, you need to understand there's a blessing coming your way. But before the blessing can come, there's something that's going to have to shift, and it's going to shift in a mindset. And I'm going to have to get out of my carnality into the realm of the Spirit. Because no man praying from earth will receive anything from heaven. Yesterday I had a tremendous time with some folks, and we were speaking about some spiritual things, and they've asked me questions. They said, you know what, we've seen you declare a thing and God do it. Why? And I said, let me tell you something. You can decide in your life if I'm going to remain a carnal being and ask like a carnal being, or I'm going to understand that God is Spirit. Please shout that he's Spirit. Come on, somebody. God is Spirit. So I can continue to ask in the flesh to fulfill the desires of the flesh, or I can get out of the carnal mindedness and get into the Spirit. And now this is when God starts to answer people. I'm just throwing this free of charge. I'm going to get to the main message now. But this is when God starts to answer people. When people come before his throne with boldness. The Lord said to me the one day, he says, if you will just declare this, I will back it up. So I try to get some crazy things to declare. I like to declare some crazy stuff so that people around me think this guy has lost it. Amen? But God has promised, if you will just say this, I promise you I'll back it up and I'll do it for you. And this is what I did with the Lord. I always go back to him and say, Lord, you have promised. The one who's promising cannot fail. Who believes that? I said, who believes that? Now this morning, you better believe that God's will for your life is to bless you. But not just to bless you. I'm talking to you about that you will lend out, but you will never borrow. I'm talking to you about God blessing the Christians, his people, so much that you will not have room enough to store the blessings of God in your life. I'm talking to somebody that has been praying about a thing, and suddenly God answers you. And the carnal mind, I think he's going to get heated. I'm going to get my jacket off just now. Just by the way, don't worry about the aircon. We're sorting it, okay? The aircon's not going to help when the fire of God comes. Yeah. Hallelujah. But I want to say this, that Christians has got a problem when Christians are blessed. But they've got no problem about how worldly people live. I'm going to try this side. Maybe you hear me. Christians got a problem when Christians are being blessed. But yet they've got no problem when the world is being blessed. I've been in Israel, I've been in certain countries, most of the 40 nations of the world I've been to, most of them got mosques that you can't even explain in words. The best of the best. The biggest of the biggest. And we just allow it, we sit back. I say, do you know what? It's actually a shameful pity that there's not a church in every city, in every town, on every street corner. Come on, bigger than mosques. But the reason is we've got carnal Christians. This is the biggest problem. We've got carnal Christians. We think out of the flesh. I'm going to give my money to the church. They're going to eat Kentucky. A carnal person thinks about what the past is driving, where he's staving. But a spiritual man thinks that when God blesses me, I'm not increasing my way of living, I increase my way of giving. Hallelujah. And we need to deal with the subject because we've got carnal people around the world, carnal Christians, and we wonder why is the dead bones not walking. We ask the questions, why is the dead bones still dead? Because we've got carnal people. Come on, I tell you this right now. I've seen this around the world. When God starts to bless the Christians, people will talk. Did you see that? Hij heeft alweer een nieuwe kar gereden. Gaan lekker. Come on, help me out, Christians. Where's the Christians at? Just wave at me if you believe what I'm saying. It's like they don't want to see the sun going up over you. Oh, Lord, bless me, my house, just the four of us, no one else. Amen. Carnal Christianity. Carnal Christianity. I do want to declare this to the body of Christ. When I do good, you do good. When you do good, we do good. Come on. We are part of the same kingdom of God. Jesus said the following. He said the following. He says, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And yet we wonder why so many people are going to hell. Yet we wonder why the church is not making an impact. We are a body divided instead of a body that stands together in the gap. And say, we're no longer carnal Christians. Come on. We are spirit-filled men and women of God. Come on, blood-washed, Holy Ghost-filled. Where's the Holy Ghost-filled people in this place? It's time when we put carnality one side and say, it's not about me, myself, and I. It's about His kingdom. Now, God speaks in the book of Deuteronomy, in Exodus. It goes on about the blessing of God, the blessing of God. So one thing is for sure, even in the New Testament, the Bible says, I wish that you prosper even as your soul prospers. Now, somebody that prospers doesn't borrow. I'm trying to help you to get a new mindset. I want to say this, and Pastor Brain approved this message. But if we live from hand to mouth, I declare this, it's illegal. I said it's illegal. Let's try that again. It is illegal. It's illegal. And the enemy wants us to believe this is the way that God wants us to live. Many people think that blessing just comes in financial forms. Most people don't even understand when the blessing of God comes, there's some things that shifts in the atmosphere. We're going to get to this. The Bible speaks about when God starts to bless you, He starts to deal with your enemies. The Bible says when God starts to bless you, He takes care of your body. He says He heals every organ. The Bible says when God starts to bless you, He blesses your water, He blesses your food. It means that you will have more than enough when God starts to bless you. The problem is, the following scripture speaks about, we're going to get to this now, don't put it on the board, I'm going to just mention this. Deuteronomy 28 speaks about the blessings of God. Everybody loves the blessing of God. Come on, if you love the blessing of God, shout hallelujah. And everybody quote the scripture, I'm blessed going in and going out. Come on, I'm blessed in the field, I'm blessed in the city, and blessed, 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 and hallelujah, I'm blessed. But they miss the scripture. You see, when it comes to the Bible, stop reading the Bible verse for verse and start reading the Bible word for word. You can never, Jesus Christ said it. He says, if you add or take out of my word, I'll blot your name out of the book of life. You have to read the verse before, middle, after. People take a centerpiece out and build a kingdom. That's not biblical. It's to soothe our own lifestyles. Deuteronomy starts with, if you listen, if you would diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Come on, to observe all the commandments He gives you today. Then Bible says, then God says, I will command a blessing upon your life. The key is that many people are not obedient to God. They're obedient to flesh. Because we're carnal people. I just feel it in the spirit, my brother. I just feel it in the spirit in this place. The Bible says if you bless God, if you obey God, God will bless you. People don't read further. We quote Deuteronomy 1 to 14. I'm blessed. Miss 15 to the rest. If you do not listen, there will be a curse upon your life. Come on, there will be bad. There will be famine. We miss that scripture. People, I've heard it this week. Listen, brother, that's Old Testament. Many people quote the Bible that's Old Testament. Don't read Old Testament, but they want to quote Old Testament biblical blessings. I heard a guy say to me, the Old Testament is no more in use because it's Old Testament. He says, but I just thank God for Abraham's blessings. I said, you... That applies for your life, the blessing of God. But the rest of the scriptures, listen, the Holy Spirit has moved on the prophets of old to put in the Old Testament in your Bible. If it's there, it means it's for still for today. Because people don't understand, the Old Testament is a shadow of the things to come, while the New Testament is the substance. But if you think about the Old Testament that is void, then Jesus is void. Because from Genesis to Revelation, every single chapter speaks about the living Christ, the chief cornerstone. Come on, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So if it's in the Bible, it's for you. Hallelujah. It's for you. And don't go read any translation, please. I've matched it. I've put two translations next to each other. Then there's some scriptures missing. If you add or take out, I'll blot your name out of the book of life. Don't do that. What do you read? Well, I promise you, the nearest, the closest King James Version or New King James Version. That's my prerogative. Hallelujah. All right, now, I want you to get on to the screen. Let's go to the book of Exodus 23 and 25. We're going to speak about the blessings of God. And I really do believe that you're going to walk out of this place with a new mindset. Who's ready for a new mindset? Exodus 23, 25 says, "So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. And here's the key, I will take sickness away from the midst of you." Just keep it on, just keep it on. He says, "So you shall serve the Lord your God." Serving doesn't mean once a week. It means every single day. A life given away for the use of the master. You don't hear me. Last night I went to bed at 3:30. Or this morning, rather. 3:30. I'm never too tired to preach. If I'm too tired to preach, I preach. Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've learned years ago that this body does not belong to vessel to brain. Come on, this is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, "So you shall serve the Lord your God." So if the Lord keeps you awake until 5 o'clock in the morning, I stay awake, brother. There's nothing like spending time in the presence of God. There's nothing like speaking to your fellow folks about Jesus Christ. They know me. If I start to speak about the word, I don't go to bed. Then I want to go, because I live and I eat and I breathe the word of God. Is there somebody excited in this place? So here's the scripture. He says, and this speaks about the blessing. Blessing number one, the blessings of God belongs to those who serve the Lord your God. The Bible says he will bless your bread and your water. This means that you will always have food. David says, "I was young and I was old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread." The Bible says, if you serve God, that he will cause a blessing on your food and he will cause a blessing on your drink. Who hears me in this place? In other words, what the Bible says, if God is obliged to bless you when you serve him, God takes care of his own. If the devil can take care of his children, my God can do much more. Come on, who's with me in this place? "So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water." And he says, "I will take sickness away from the midst of you." This is the blessing of God. The blessing of God doesn't just come in financial forms. It comes also in that he says he keeps your body healthy. I want to ask you a question. What good does it help you to be a multimillionaire but no health? Amen? I heard a guy, a real story. He said to his wife, when he dies, she better throw in all his money. He's got 25 million. All of his money in the grave with him. He died. She wrote out the check. This is what people think. People think money is everything. But the Bible says, listen, I'm going to take you to a place where I'll bless your bread. Don't worry. I'll take care of you. I know that you need food. I'm a good father. I'm not a bad guy. I'm a good father. No parent sitting in this place wants to see your children hungry. Come on, where's the parents that wants to see their children hungry? No parent wants to see their children hungry. You want to feed them and you want to love them and you'll do anything. Come on, anything. I said anything to bless your children. Is that correct? Now the Bible says, God says, I know you need food. I know you need bread. Amen. I'm sorted. Come on, Gabriel and Michael is already on their way. Don't you worry. I'm sorting it out. But I'm going to throw this in free of charge. I'm going to heal your body. The blessing of my, come on, my blessing will touch your body, that no sickness, no disease shall come near your lungs. Your lungs shall become mine. Come on. Your kidneys shall become mine. Your liver shall become mine. Woo! So people want to see the blessing of God. Now, people read this. "So you shall receive the blessing of God. He will bless your bread and your water, and he will take all your sickness away." But they don't read, if you serve, if you are established, rooted in the house of God. Oh, now everybody's quiet. Come on, pot blonde Christians. Oh, my season is over. You're in rebellion. I'm going to try this side. Come on, I'm stirring something in the spirit in this place. Why? Because we are carnal Christians. We are carnal Christians. Listen, let me tell you something. A spirit man is rooted. Come on, he's planted in the house of God. And he flourishes in his old days. I've seen old people, and I love old people. My wife loves old people, and we would always want to take care of old people. But the Bible says, even in your old day, when you are rooted in the house of God, I will bless you. Second blessing, you have to be what? Rooted. Trust me, you can take a tree, plant it, take it out. Take it somewhere else, plant it again, take it out, uproot it. Suddenly that tree starts to die. Trust me, I'm speaking out of experience. You can put water, you can zimbamba around that tree, it's gonna die. Because he needs some soil, he needs some good ground to. There goes the roots, and suddenly starts to grow. The blessing of God comes, not to people who's easily offended, but to people who's rooted in the house of God, because they love God more than they love the self-esteem, more than they love the egos. God, I'm rooted. I get so angry, and the Bible says, be angry and sin not. So it's all right for me to be angry this morning, all right? I'm not sinning. I'm sinning when I'm slapping. I'm not slapping, all right? I get angry when people demand the blessing of God. They demand the blessing of God, but they don't do what the Bible says. You can't demand nothing unless you walk the walk. Oh, come on. You can't demand anything. People cry about closed doors, and they complain to God why doors are closed, but they've never learned how to honor. If you dishonor, door starts to close. Bang. Oh, Lord, where's the doors? Start to live the life. I spoke to somebody yesterday. I said, do you know what? Many, many people. Now, I want to throw this in. I heard last night I heard that a guy planned to shoot me with a gun, to kill me. He knew where I was. He called a guy. He said, I saw a vessel there. I'm on my way. I'm going to take him out. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to shoot him with a gun. The guy told him, you're nuts. You're crazy. I laughed. I said, you know what? Gabriel would have smacked him around. And I said to the Lord, the devil is so angry at me that he's sending people a gun to a spirit fight. I want to tell you, no weapon. No weapon. No weapon. Brother, no weapon. Sister, no weapon. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Blessed is my going in, am I going out? I'm blessed in the field, I'm blessed in the town, I'm blessed, blessed, blessed. You better know that the devil is afraid when he gets his assassins. He wants to assassin me in the flesh. Brother, I'm assassinating you in the spirit. I'm taking you out. The Bible says every high thing must come down. Every stronghold must be broken. Where's the Christians at? Can you just high-five somebody and say the blessing of God is coming to my house? Hallelujah. Blessed are those who are being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when they lie and cheat against you and speak all false things against you. Blessed are you, I see. He says, for surely your name shall be written in the Lamb's book of life. I tell you, my name is not engraved in the palms of your hand, but I can tell you surely my name has been engraved in the hands of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Earth might not receive me, but I tell you, heaven is waiting to announce, well done, good and faithful servant. Woo! I'm preaching to myself. I want to buy this DVD. George, I'll need to buy this DVD for myself. Who's blessed this morning? I said, who's blessed this morning? Come, I'm speaking to the blessed guys in this place. Who's blessed this morning? Psalm 1, verse 1. I want to show you something. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. What, Lord? There's a blessing if I live a pure life. There's a blessing if I don't sit with the ungodly. There's a blessing, Lord, if I don't agree with those who mock God. What, Lord, you say there's a blessing if I live a pure life? Do not sit with the scornful and the sinners. What I'm going to say, and I say this out of much love, but as long as worldly people still invite you to family brides and events, you're unsaved. Ons nooi jou nie meer nie, hoor, want jy sê altyd nee. By the way, good Christians can have a good time. My brother Tinus has sorted me out last night with a drink. Jeez. Die Pinkster kapsel. A cola tonic with Coca-Cola. And he says, do you want a double or triple? I said, it was a long week, make it triple. With ice. Try that. Shaken, not stirred. I was finishing, he says, no one. I said, yes, how do you know me? You can have a lovely time. But the Bible says it's a great blessing if you say no to this world. You might be scoffed by the people saying, kijk hier, it's geen heilig. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15. We will serve the Lord. Amen. So this is for somebody that needs to read this. God will bless you if you don't sit in the council of the ungodly. Amen. If you say, no ways, not me, my house. No, no, no. We will serve the Lord. Even though we are without friends, that's fine. People that can go and walk out, that's fine. As long as I serve the Lord with everything. Do you know what? My dad always taught me something. I'll never forget this as long as I live. He always said to me, vessel, stay in the middle of the road. He says, the minute you go left or right, you're going to lose what God has placed upon your life. And I've seen people come and people go. People go to the left and to the right. And they just move by things because of carnal mindedness. But something that my dad said was rooted and planted on the inside of me. And this is why I don't negotiate with truth. I don't negotiate with truth. There's either truth or there's a lie. There's no gray. There's no in between. Come on, a half truth is a lie. Oh, let's try that again. A half truth is a lie. There's only truth and there's a lie. And free of charge, the Bible says that Jesus says, he says, the world will hate me. You remember when Jesus said, he says, I was sitting with you, teaching you. He says, and you hate me because I speak the truth. So now the Bible says that, remember that they hated Jesus first. In other words, the world hated truth first. This is why the world, now, I don't know why the Holy Spirit's doing this, but I'm going to throw this in. He's the boss, and I'm just doing what he's saying. Many people don't understand this, what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman, but a powerful God. Yes. Who hears me in this place? So people think that Christians judge. You get it wrong. You know what happens? When the Holy Spirit works, he is not giving up on you just because you're a sinner. There comes a time when you deny him, that he will walk out. But before that time comes, do you know what happens? Sin comes to the surface. And then, oh, you guys judge me. No, it's sin that condemns you. Sin, because you know what happens? Here comes truth. Here comes life. Here comes light. And now what does the devil say? I need to get out of here. He moet ek uit, broer. Now it surfaces. Now people say, this is not the Holy Spirit. He's not condemning. Listen, brother, it's your sin that condemns. Sin wants to come out so that light can step in. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, blessed are the ways of the righteous. My ways are blessed. Righteousness means what? To be in right standing with God. Right, I'm getting somewhere. I'm almost there. It's almost finished, right? Stop the yawning. We're almost there. I want to throw this in. People need to hear this. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. I want to shake you a little bit that you just understand this now. There's not hard work that brings the blessing. Here's what God said to Abraham. He said, Abraham, I'm going to make a covenant with you. I'm going to establish my covenant. I will not just do it with you. He says, your life has provoked me to bless your family, to bless your children's children because of your obedience. He says there's two things that needs to happen. He says you better live a holy life. He says you better circumcise yourself. The problem with it, many people that don't see the blessing of God, their hearts and ears has never yet been circumcised. Our hearts and ears are closed up. We don't want to hear truth. Oh my God, I feel that. We don't want to hear truth. Our hearts are full of self, and we want to see the blessing of God. God says, no, 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 no. He says, if you don't get uncircumcised, if you don't come to a place where you will serve me, he says, I will not bless you. I will not bless your children's children. And the Bible says Abraham did what God has said, because there's a blessing in obedience. I've seen this, that God, when you are obedient to God, it doesn't make God love you more, but your obedience shows that you love God. Obedience is the highest form of worship. I'm speaking to someone in this house. That's the highest form of worship. When Isaac was in a nation, in a country, come on, South Africans. When Isaac was in South Africa, he wanted to run. God said to him, do not run. But everybody else is running away. There's a famine. God says, I am not moved according to continent. I'm not moved by which nation you stay in. If you obey my voice, I'm going to show you what I'm going to do in this nation. And he said to Isaac, I want you to do so in this nation. Isaac didn't say, no, I'm going to run because the blessing, the money is more that side. No, no, this is not what Isaac said. Isaac said, Lord, what do you want me to do? I want you to stay there, sow there, and listen to me, and I'll bless you. I'll make you a great nation. Do you know what everybody else did? Everybody else started saving up. Hulle het hulle blikkies kos gekoop. Is gepak. The petrol has been bought at Woolworths. By the way, I want to give people free advice. Don't worry about the petrol prices that went up. They think they fool us when the petrol prices goes up. I still just put in 100 bucks. No, don't be fooled. Some of you caught it. Some of you caught it. I see it. If it goes up, just put 100. Don't worry. Don't let them fool you. God said to Isaac, I'm going to do something in this nation. And do you know what Isaac did? Isaac didn't say, oh, here, he weet dat dit lang was gereen. No, no, no. The Bible doesn't say that observe the winds. He says, observe my word. And the Bible says he sowed in that nation. The Bible says in the same year. Now, this is the law of multiplication. God says, you do something, I'm going to show up. And I'm going to show you I'm Jehovah Jireh. I'm not just any God. I'm not a dead sleeping idol. I'm not just any God. I am the great I am. I'm Jehovah Jireh, your provider. I'll bless you in the midst of a storm, in the midst of a famine. I'll take care of you. Isaac said, yes, Lord. Everybody was running out for the hills. Paspoort was recht. Isaac said, here we go. You sow. The Bible says in that same year, God blessed him 100-fold. 100-fold. While the rest of the nation were out in famine, God's blessing was poured out on Isaac's life. My God, do you hear what I'm saying? This is what people need to hear. Again, I'm preaching to myself. You don't need to live in America to be blessed. There's people living in America right now. There's living on the streets. There's no food in their stomachs. There's no jobs. There's joblessness around the world. God's not moved by where you stay. God is moved by your obedience. Your obedience is what provokes God's blessing upon your life. This is why the Bible says when you want to build a house, don't build it on the sand, build it on the stone. Why on the stone? Why on the stone, not on the sand? Sand is something that deteriorates. Come on, a rock. If you think about the rock, right through Genesis, straight up to Revelation, the rock speaks about Christ Jesus being rooted, being the chief cornerstone. He says, you want to build, you better build right. How do we build? We build according to his word. When he said to Moses, and he gave Moses instructions over Israel, when he spoke to Solomon, when they built the temple, when he spoke to David, he gave them instructions. Build it according to my word. Come on, where's the real Christians, huh? And God's blessings were poured out upon their lives. Abraham had to sacrifice Isaac. He didn't say, here, who fight the Amalekite like? Fight the Ishmael. See what he did? He didn't say that. Because God requires your best. Remember that song that Tina Turner sings, You're Simply the Best? That song's for Jesus, brother. You're simply the best. Better than all the rest. There goes the gun. Ah, and Buddha. He's simply the best, man. Come on, I want you to shout, Jesus is simply the best. Jesus is simply the best. Do you really believe that? So I was looking at the scriptures. I said, well, Lord, if your blessings provoked you to, or Abraham's and Isaac's and Jacob's obedience blessed you, provoked you to bless them, you would do the same for me. Same for me. Imagine, here's Abraham. I want you to take Isaac, sacrifice him. Yes, Lord. The Bible speaks about 3 days, 3 days journey that they were walking. For those of you who do not know, 3 days journey. Jesus was dead for 3 days. The Bible says that God showed him a mountain where he was supposed to sacrifice his son. It's called Moriah. Moriah was called Golgotha. He was sacrificed the very place where Jesus had to be crucified. And the Bible says that he went up to that mountain, stopped at the mountaintop, turned around, he said to his servants, stay here while me and the son go and worship. We all know that scripture, amen? God says, kill. Abraham says, worship. Now, this is something that Abraham understood that we miss. The blessing was in the obedience. Yes, Lord, I'll kill my son. Even if I spend 3 days at the dam and we get close and we spend fire, a time around the fire with marshmallows, I'm going to kill him on the third day because this is what you want me to do. You want me to sacrifice him, even if it's going to cost me everything. Come on, even if it's going to cost me my heart to be plucked out of my chest, I'm going to do it because I love you more than I love life itself. This is why you're obeying God. You obey God because you love him. Jesus says, how can you say that you love me but you don't do what I tell you to do? You can only say that you love God the minute you get Isaac and you start to walk with Isaac to that Mount Moriah. If you have never been to Moriah, close your ears. I'm speaking to people that knows what it means to take everything that you've got. I'm not just speaking about money. I'm speaking about everything that you've laid on the altar for God. And suddenly there's a voice out of heaven that says, stop. I now see that you love me and that you fear me. I'm going to provide your every need. Come on, where's the real people in this place? It can't be as quiet as this. You need to understand. You want to see the blessing of Abraham? You better get in Abraham's shoes and do the same thing. Hallelujah. Many times I'm asking the Lord, why am I still doing what I'm doing? And you know what? And then I it's like a back to reality. You do what you do because I tell you to do what you do. And you walk when I tell you to walk. And most times in my life, most times in my family's life, my marriage, everything that we do, there's nothing that I don't do that's an act of faith. Every single thing I do is an act of faith. I don't have the money, I do it. I don't have the time, I make time. Because I know if God can do it for Abraham, he can do it for me. He can do it for me, he can do it for you. Come on, I want you to shout, I'm blessed. I'm getting somewhere right now. Okay, he gaat ons over tambu. Whose minds are being renewed? Who understands it's God's word for you to prosper, to be blessed? In all areas of your life, not just financially, all areas of your life. I really do believe this. And I know I said this to my wife the other night. I said, do you know what the unfortunate thing? Many people think, oh, this is not vessel to brain and they don't listen. Maybe I don't have the doctor's title or the American evangelist or the Australian evangelist or the New Zealand evangelist. This is why many people, they did it with Jesus too. You want to speak to us? You're just a carpenter's son. There's people, I mean, I've been around the block a couple of times. You're the preacher? No, goodness gracious. I was in a church. I was supposed to preach. Walked in there. Oh, Taniki, klap my car. Hallo, Sien. Wacht het vir die pastoor. So I was walking in. A guy comes to me, he says, brother, you need deliverance today. Today is your day. He says, you're in the right place. He says, there's an evangelist coming. And he's praying for the sick and the power of God's falling. He says, but I ask you, please come out first. Let God touch you first. I said, I'll be there. I said, I'll be there in the front and center first. He says, great. I'm cheering you on. So pastor gave me the mic. He's like, nog jou beard nie. Net nou. Eerst tiende offering. When I took the microphone, I said, I was lost, but now I'm found. Blind, but now I see. Na die dienst kom my, tik my sussie. Sorry, man. He said, I didn't know that young people preach nowadays. If God says it's your time, if God says it's your time, I said, if God says it's your time, there's no force in hell that can stop what God has planned for your life. While the world is sowing destruction, God says, I know what I planned for you, declares the Lord. Come on, plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. Do you know what I love? He says, not plans to harm you. but plans to prosper you. Now, I want you to get Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 on the board. We're going to go through this, and then we're going to say goodbye. No, we're not. Deuteronomy 28, 1 says, now it shall come to pass. Just pause. Now it shall come to pass. When will it come to pass? Let's write that again. When will it come to pass? Have you noted? Have you noted Deuteronomy 28, 1 says, now it shall come to pass. At the very first verse of the chapter. Hebrews 11, the very first verse of the chapter says, now faith is the substance of the things hoped for. So here's God. No. Listen, God moved on them. He said, I want you to start with the word now. Because I'm the God of the now. The God of the suddenlies. The God that takes nothing and he turns it around and he blesses it. Come on, the God that takes a mess and turns it into a message. The God that takes your test and turns it around in a testimony. He says, now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Not the voice of the flesh. Not the voice of your brother, your mother, your wife, your sister. But the voice of God Almighty. He says, to observe carefully. The word observe means that you check it out. Not just once and then you go home. No. Observing means, just by the way, free of charge, Elisha observed 13 years how Elijah did the job. It's something that you continue to do. You continue to observe carefully all the commandments, all the instructions which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Just pause there. He says, if you listen to God and obey his voice and do everything that he tells you. Now, there's a lot of people that likes this. They do what the word says until it gets personal. Then they don't do it no more. This is why the Bible says, you want to live under the law, you'll be judged under the law. You want to keep 10 laws and you want to skip 2? No, brother, you can't live this way. If you want to live under the law, help me out. You better live under the law. Amen. So the Bible says, and this is clear, it says, if you do everything what I tell you to do, everything. Not just one or two things. Not just one or two things that makes you happy. Come on, help me out. I'm almost there. Help me out quickly in this place. Not when you feel like it. He says, when I tell you to do it, you do it. And when you do it, I'll do something. He says, I will cause, and we're going to get to this. I'm going to cause nations to look up to you. I'm going to cause a blessing. And he says, I will set you high above all the nations. Do you know what this means? I will set you high above all the nations. It means that you have been walking with your head down low for long, long, long. You have been the outcast. You have been the nobody. You have been the nobody. Oh, there's not Piet, there's not Gert. What is it? The son of Koos. No. The Lord says, you have been blessing. This is what I need to tell somebody. There comes a day where God says, you've been faithful. You've been praying so long. I've seen your tears. I've seen how you help people. Now you are moving me to bless you. I cannot withhold it. I cannot take it no more. I need to release it. There comes a day where God says, it's payback time. Oh, I just love this. I want you to shout this out of faith. It's payback time. And what you confess today, you possess tomorrow. If you have not said anything, I'm sorry, you're going to miss out on tomorrow. I've declared this word. I say to the Lord every day, I declare over my life what I want to see. I declare his word. Why? Because his word cannot come back void. If the Bible says I'm blessed going out, I'm blessed. I'm blessed going in, I'm blessed. So I tell my walls, I have my hands on the doorpost. I say, when I walk out of here, blessing walks with me. When I walk back into this place, blessing walks with me. Let's go to verse 2. Now, here's the key. Number one, it says, I have to do what? Obey him. Do whatever he tells you to do. Doesn't matter what it costs you. I'm going to do it. And the Bible says, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Now, here's God again. Here's God again. He says, the blessings will come on you. So here's two. This is the double blessing. When scripture says, the blessing will come on you. But it's not going to remain on you. It's going to overtake you. In other words, the thing overtake me means he's in front of me. I can never outgive God. I need to say this. Somebody needs to help me out. Come on, you better help me preach. If you have been giving and giving and giving and giving and not have seen a return on what you have been giving, but just because you are faithful in your giving, this is what the Bible says, the blessing is coming and it's going to overtake you. It means that when, this is what it means. It means that when famine comes, when World War III knocks on your door, there will be a blessing right in front of you. Because the blessing has not just come to you, it has overtaken you. There's a blessing. So it doesn't matter where I go, there's a blessing waiting. This is how God blesses. God does not, God's name is not El Get By. His name is not El Cheapo. His name is El Shaddai. The God of plenty. The all-sufficient one. Have you noted that I've spoken about my king? I've spoken about your king. Aren't you excited about that? El Shaddai. The God of plenty. The Jehovah Jireh. The Lord my provider. He's my provider. So he says, all these blessings shall come upon you and it will overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Let's go. Blessed shall you be in the city. Church, wake up. I can stay in Johannesburg and see the blessing. Or I can stay in Een Oogfontein. And God can bless me. I can stay in America and I can stay in South Africa and God can bless me. He's the same God over there and he's the same God here. No, no, no. I lie. There's nations that I've been to that says in here we don't need God, we've got money. South Africa, thank God for godly men in this nation that preaches the gospel with power and in truth, because there's nations that seek to hear the word of God with power and truth. Hallelujah. Blessed shall you be in the city and blessed shall you be in the country. Come on, Een Oogfontein, you can all play. They will all play. That's revelation that speaks. She's got revelation. There is a God that blesses. Doesn't matter where I am. He blesses me. Why do he bless me? Ben ek in my hart reggekom? No, because I've observed and I've obeyed him. No matter what voices has spoken to my ears, I've listened to one voice who is above every other voice. I promise you, most people want to see you go, God says, I've got a plan. While they plan your destruction, I'm planning your victory. Hallelujah. While his eyes try to see you go down, I'm about to promote you and lift you high above the nations. Hallelujah. Let's go. He says, blessed shall be the fruit of your body. Now, do you know what that means? It means the fruit of my body. It means that I'll be healthy. My lungs shall be healthy. Come on. Come on, my livers, my kidneys, my kleintuin, everything. The fruit of my body. The produce of your ground and the increase of your herds, your possessions shall multiply. Do you know what? And I'm going to throw this in. People, take it, leave it, up to you. This is what happens when you tithe. Tithing is not just God blesses you financially. Tithing means that God helps your tires to run longer. Your washing machine suddenly is no longer, it's just going for 2 years, as 4 years going. Because now you provoke God's hand to bless you. Oh, Vessel, that's Old Testament. Read your Bible. It's long before the laws that God implemented tithes. Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. Oh, hallelujah. Tithing is not because God needs your money. Tithing is God needing you to obey him and show him that you love him more than you love your money. If you believe it, come on, give him an extra shout of praise in this house. The Bible says the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. This is again generation. I'm not just going to bless your herd. I'm going to bless the offspring. This is what most people don't know. Most people stand and speak to you and don't know who they've got in front of them. Most people don't know who they allowed in their house. Jesus says, if they receive you, leave my peace. If I go to any hotel, guest houses that treated me well, before I leave, I say, Lord, I release the peace of God. The way they treated me, treat them. Why is it so quiet? I'm a king's son. Do you know, they don't know who they got. There's a scripture that says, people speak about you behind walls, behind closed doors, they speak about you. They say your voice is like a nice song. And the scripture goes on, it says, but then when you are removed from them, they understood for the first time they had a prophet in their midst. It's only when you don't have it no more that you understand what you've lost. It's really, really, really. You can ask any person that loves the presence of God, and they get into the presence of the Lord, and then they go somewhere there's no presence. Then you understand what you had. Then I thank God for great men who rebuked me and still rebuking me. I thank God for great men of God, great preachers that has walked the road. No negotiations. No negotiations. When I think I'm off course, they call me or message me and say, hey, what are you busy with? Get back in track. I said to the one preacher, I love this man of God. He allowed him to speak into my life. I spoke to him, the one that I said, how do you handle persecution? He says, I don't handle it. I said, what do you mean? He says, I leave it up to God to deal with him. Because the Bible says, I will be a blessing to those who bless you, but I become an adversary of your adversaries. I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you. Did you get that? The battle is not yours. Let's go. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Can I rephrase that? Blessed shall be your wallet and your purse. Come on, vertel hy sissy boy handsak. Jy gaan geseën wees. Come on, speak to that wallet. You'll never have another broke day in your life. Hallelujah. I want somebody that will have crazy faith with me right now. That will take up that wallet. Take up that purse. Come on, lift it up. And you declare, blessed shall be my wallet and my purse. This is what the Bible says. Come on, help me out. Blessed shall be my wallet and my purse. Nee, my broer, asseblief, kry 'n groter beursie. God's blessing that's coming is not your wallet's too small. Toe maak weer as in die bank, moet jy nie worry nie. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed will you be when you go out. This means it doesn't matter where I am. Heaven notice. There's a fingerprint on my head. I'm a chosen vessel. Before I was created and formed in my mother's womb, he knew me. He handpicked me, handcrafted me, blew his spirit into my nostrils. Wherever I go, I'm blessed. When I go in, I'm blessed. When I go out, I'm blessed. When I stand in the shower, I'm blessed. When I put on my clothes, I'm blessed. When I open my Bible, I'm blessed. When I go to bed at night, I'm blessed. 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 Many people complain about what they don't have, but they miss the blessing about what they have. If you have a roof over your head, you've got food in your stomach, you are blessed. If you are healthy, you've got a family that loves you and adores you, you are blessed. Blessing doesn't just come in financial ways. It comes in every way. Come on, I want you to inhale quickly. Exhale. You're blessed. There's people laying on a deathbed right now. Just wanting to live while people sit up here in this place like the world owes them something. You better shout out, I'm blessed. Lord, I'm blessed. I'm breathing. My heart is beating. I'm blessed. But I don't drive that car. So what? You can't drive that car if you're half dead in any case. I'm blessed. Please, let it come out of your mouth. It's okay. This is a safe place. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And you better remind that about you. You better tell that devil every day, I'm blessed. There's nothing you can do about it. I'm blessed beyond the curse. Hallelujah. I said, I'm blessed beyond the curse. Have you seen on the television, it was a news station. No jokes. On a news station. In a mosque. People are worshiping. Bowing down before their God. Wall collapsed. Fall on their hands. Carried off. All of them. Lost their hands. Why do I say this? I tell you. You better write down the very date and second I'm telling you this. My God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is about to show up on planet Earth like we have not yet seen. We have not yet seen. I prophesy this. The Lord is declaring this. I don't care how many angry faces, dislikes I get. I declare this because I'm a man of God. We're going to see the hand of God being moved, being provoked over the nations of this world. I declare this, that statues will come to nothing. Earthquakes will shake nations, but God shall reign as King Supreme. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. While I'm at it, I better tell the body of Christ the following. For long have you suffered. I tell you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of that boat and start to walk on the word that God has given you. Where is the real Christians in this place? I ask the Holy Ghost, I ask the Spirit of God, please help me to get this fruit to people. If we can just get some backbone with some faith in our bellies and get the word out, thus saith the Lord, it must happen. Very soon the fire of God is going to fall in this house. I'm going to try you maybe this side. Very soon the fire of God will start to fall in this house. There will be a shaking. I declare this, your days of suffering is long over. You are due for a blessing of God. I tell you right now, the days where your enemies have seen you go down is over. God says, I'm exalting you. I'm lifting you high above the nations. The day is coming where people that mocked you will no longer mock you, but that they will know that your God is the God that truly lives. I'm pushing. Come on, I'm pushing. There's somebody that dream a dream. You better get this clear. You better dream a bigger dream. For God is about to just push you into that. Say it's your time. Come on, I want to go. The Lord will cause your enemies. This is what most people miss. When the blessing of God comes, it's not just financial blessing. It doesn't just blesses your body. The Bible says He blesses your children's children. He blesses your livestock. That fat bulldog in the yard, God blesses him. Everything that belongs to you, God starts to bless. You might think I'm nuts. I tell my bulldog, I tell him, you are the beloved of the Lord. Who can he say? He belongs to me. God loves everything that's mine. I take him. When God created the bulldog, He thought about vessel to brain. I can have a bad day and just look at that fat face and everything's fine. Have you noticed? Unconditional love. They love you when your hair is not gelled. When in your pantoffels loop, dank Here, ek het nie. Your onesie, they just love you. You can be mad at them. Let's go. Let's get back on track. I'm not going to be so long. No more. 4 hours. I'm just telling what God does when He blesses you. God gives you increase. You get increase at your work. People are angry, jealous. Come here. Let me tell you why this guy. Because he's the beloved of God. He's the son of God. He lives a righteous and a holy life. That's why God is blessing him. Oh, come on. He's obeying God. While you're obeying the world, he's obeying God. This is why God provokes the blessing. And it goes on. It says, then I will do something else. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. So when God starts to bless you, He starts to deal with your enemies. But I like this one. This one runs with the same what David said in the book of Psalm chapter 23. You prepare a table before my enemies. Now the Bible says, I'll deal with your enemies in front of your face. I'm not going to do it behind closed walls. You will see their destruction. You will see as they mocked you, they will fall on their faces and cry out to your God. He says, I will deal with your enemies. Now, can I just say this? That the biggest mistake is to become an enemy of a man of God. Now I would add, the biggest mistake is to become an enemy of a son of God. Where's the sons? Thank you ladies, you sons as well. This is what the book of Galatians says. You are called sons of God. Because now the Bible says, now I'm going to start to deal with them. The way they dealt with you for years, I'm about to return the favor. Yes, that God of love says, I'll deal with them. That God of love says, I'm going to deal with them because I love you. And whoever comes against you comes against me. This is what I love about God. Sometimes you just have to be still and know that He's God. Sometimes you just have to sit back, let God fight the battles for you. Come on, God takes note about everything that you do. Everything. Come on, every single thing that you do. He says, they shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Imagine this. So I like this. The Bible says they will come at you one way. So they see you. Oh, here they are. Then they come because they think you're one man. And when they come against you, the Bible says now suddenly there's a change of direction. They flee in seven different directions. It's like seven men. What you sow, you will reap. The Bible says they shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Let's go on. The Lord will command the blessing on you. Yo, the Lord will command the blessing on you. What God commands, no man can stop. Oh, God, command your blessing this morning. Come on, lift your hand. Oh, God, command your blessing this morning. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses. Again, read what the Bible says. He says that God will command the blessing on you and in your storehouses. The storehouse is a place where you take where you've got more than enough and you pack it in. It's a what? A storehouse. So God says, no, I'm not just blessing you for today. When I'm blessing you, I'm going to make sure that your storehouses is full of supply. That's the blessing of God. But the Christians hate when Christians are being blessed. The Christians hate. You know what? When I see a person that I know that has been walking a road with me, that suddenly driving with a nice car, my heart leaps with joy. My heart leaps with joy. I really just tell you this. There's something about when God blesses you, don't increase your way of living, you increase your way of giving. The blessing of God comes on you, not to sit on it, but to become a blesser. You just want to bless, you just want to bless. I was standing in a shop the other day with my wife. I said to her, I said, now we're going to make a plan. She said, what plan? I said, I don't know how we're going to do. We're going to need Holy Spirit's intervention, but I want to make sure that there's not children and people that sleeps hungry at night. I said, I cannot bear it, sleeping at night with a full tummy, and there's people that goes to bed with nothing. It just breaks my heart. That's the true gospel, when you take care of people. That's the true heart of Jesus Christ, when you take care of people. Listen, somebody blessed us the 1 month with groceries. And there's a lot of groceries, a lot. About 7,000 rand worth of groceries. And I thank God for the groceries. Because my wife prayed. She said one day, Lord, we will never sleep hungry. And God blessed us that month. And you know what? When the blessing came, I was spending time in my room. And I heard God say to him, I wanted you to take that whole 7,000 and divide it to different families. And I wanted to shout out, the carnal man wanted to shout out, Lord, yes, I'm that family. Amen? Come on. I said, Lord, really, Lord? I need it myself. And God says, I want you to release it. There's people that needs it. And I'm going to show you it, and I'll do something for you. I said to my wife, give it away. You don't tell her twice to give anything away. But you know what God did? What I gave away, people don't even knew about it, because we're not people that stand on the street corner and say, we do this for people, this for people. You'll fall on your back if you know what this church do for people on a monthly basis. You'll fall on your back. And you know what God did? Nobody knew about it. Somebody gave us a voucher, made up what we gave away. And when I saw it, I started crying. I said, surely, I've seen you move, and I see you move again. Come on, I see you move mountains, and I see you move that mountain again. Why do God do that? He says, if you will obey my voice. When you have nothing, when you have everything, you better just obey. You just obey. I feel the Spirit of God. I don't know how long I'm going to still be able to go on, because I just feel a stirring. I just see like heaven opening up. I just hear that voice. Well done. Come on, can you just hear it? I tell you, the Holy Spirit is here. He just moved into this place and pulled out a chair. I just feel the presence of God. Lift your hands across this place right now. You are welcome. Just keep that on the screen. You are welcome, Spirit of God. The Lord will command the blessing, and no man can stop it. The Bible says He will bring the blessing on you, in your storehouses, and in all to which you set your hand. And He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. He says, where you lay your hand, I'll release a blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go to verse 9. The Lord will establish you as a holy people. That's the greatest blessing. That's the greatest blessing. I will establish you as a holy people to myself. He will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Not walk in the flesh, walk in his ways. And his ways is much higher than ours. Then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Do you know why the Bible says all the people shall know that you have been called by the name of the Lord? Because when God started blessing Abraham, he changed his name. Abram to Abraham. Abraham. And if you look at it, God added the piece of his name into Abraham's name and started blessing him. So when the world looked at Abraham, they knew that he bared the name of his father. This is why when the world looks at you and they see us stricken, smitten in poverty, and the church, do you know what I say this with love? It's a shame that this church has not been paid up yet. It's a shame. It's a shame. Because you know what the Christians do? We just pass out responsibility. We never want to take responsibility. It's easy to say, I'm praying for you. Oh, God will do it. You lie. If Muslims can build mosques, what stops the churches? I've seen on Facebook somebody share an auction, a church on auction. My heart was weeping. I said, Lord, how can the Christians just stand by and see the parade go by? Because our mindset has not been renewed. We are carnal minded. Because if I give to that church, I'm going to have lesser holidays. Again, I was not paid to say this. There's preachers out there in a December that this whole church, this whole congregation goes to the sea, the beach, and they forget about the pastors. I've got preacher friends in the month of December, they sleep hungry. Because there's no a church that worries. Because we've got carnal Christians. One of my preacher friends says to me, when he's 60, the church board kicks him out. He's got no home, no pension fund, nothing. And yet, what do the Christians do? We just pass the buck. Pass the buck. These blessings is supposed to be for the church. Not just this church, the body of Christ must walk in the blessings. It should not be difficult for the Christians to purchase homes. Okay, I'm helping you. It should not be difficult for the Christians to drive new cars. It should not be difficult for the Christians to walk in health. But yet the Christians do. Because we do not obey God's voice. Because obeying costs us something. And we don't want to do something. You say, let's pray. What do people do? They don't want to pray. They want to complain, but no praying. Carnal Christians. This is what the Lord says. He says, they will know that my name is on you and they will be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods. I like that one. The Lord will grant you plenty. Please say plenty. Now help me out, man. Plenty. I'm not angry at you. I just try to get a standard set. The Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body. Again, he says, you're supposed to be blessed in your body. Tell that sickness, come on, right now, you tell that sickness, you're illegal in my body. Come on, tell you, you illegal immigrant, you better get out or I cast you out. The Bible says, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. This means everything. Everything shall be blessed. If God is done with you, everything will be blessed. Hallelujah. The Lord will open to you His good treasure, the heavens, to give you the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the works of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Here's God making covenant. He says, I'm going to bless you. People will come to you and lend money from you, but you'll never borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. Oh, come on. You shall be above only and not beneath if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Now here I want to throw this in. If you run after money, you run after other gods. You cannot serve two gods. Yet the Christians complain, Lord, why is doors closed? Start to understand or start to decide who you choose to serve today. Amen. You seek His kingdom, His righteousness. In due time, all the other things shall be added unto you. You can sit here and look at me and say, Vessel, why is this church not paid up? Let me tell you what my faith says. My faith says it's already done. It just needs to manifest in the spirit. There's just somebody that needs to wake up and hear the voice of God. And say, yes, Lord, I'm not going to complain about it. I'm going to change it. Instead of leaving it on one person, doing combinedly and say, it's done. We're going to do this. I've seen in America, a guy purchased a church. Much more than he needed, what we needed here. Much more. A month. Done. Done and done. A preacher told me that they're from America. He says, this is the difference between us and South Africa. He says, our people knew how to honor. He says, when you get to South Africa, he says, you go to South Africa on your own expense. He says, people don't know how to honor. Amen? Because we are stingy. We love money more than we love God. We love goods more than we love God. I pray today that God will shift something in your life. That your whole body, right now, shall start to worship God. That you'll start to feel the vibration going through your organs as God starts to heal you in this place. Come on, lift those hands. Come on, lift those hands. I pray today that God will open up doors that no man can shut. But I pray today that God will open your ears and your heart. And you start to obey God. No matter what the cost. No matter how much it costs you, how difficult it is, how much time is required of you, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if He's not asking for Ishmael, whether He's asking for Isaac. Whatever God wants to do, I'll do it. Because God, You promise in Your word, if I will obey Your voice, that all these blessings will come upon me and even overtake me. And I want to ask every eye to be closed, please. Every hand to be lifted. I want to ask right now in Jesus' name that you will change your mindset. And you'll ask the Holy Spirit, renew my mind. Renew my mind this morning. It's okay for me to come before You and ask You as a son, knowing that You're a good father and You'll provide my every need. The Bible speaks about Cornelius. He says, Cornelius, that God saw what you did for the poor. God saw the times you were seeking Him. And the reward is coming. You that are sitting here that have been faithful. Come on, you've got the right this morning to go before your Father. And say, Father, I thank You that You'll provoke the blessing upon my life. That I've been faithful, Lord. When the rest of the world didn't want to be faithful, I was faithful. I obeyed Your voice. I inclined my ear to You. I've listened to You, Lord. But I'm asking You now that You will open up the good treasure of heaven over my life and pour out such a blessing that my storehouses shall be filled. I thank You, Father, that the blessing that will come on me will overtake me. So for the future, for what's coming, that I will be taken care of, that me and my house will suffer no lack. We will not go to bed with empty stomachs. We'll have more than enough. And this bodies will live a long life. Come on, this body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And we will be blessed, blessed, blessed in Jesus' name. I want somebody that's fed up this morning. Where's the fed up people? You fed up. Fed up of what the world is being dishing out. I say this with such love. But I think my wife and I, we are first in line of people that's fed up of the enemy just dishing out and dishing out and dishing out. And we as Christians sitting back. I say, Church of God, it's time to arise as a mighty giant and say, this is where we are drawing the line. No more. Father, we worship you. We glorify you. In Jesus' mighty name. And the people of God said, amen. Come on, just give Jesus a great shout of praise. You can do much better than that. Welcome. Come on, you can do much better. Give him a praise.